However, that 2 minutes I can take up with just a short story for the children, or a parable, a lesson for the children who have bravely stayed on. I wonder if you've got a camera on the camp, or in your caravan, or at home. Maybe when you get older, you'll have such a thing. I brought mine with me because I want to show it to you and demonstrate how it works. Three things about taking a photograph. First of all, you must get the right distance from the person or the object that you're taking the photograph of. So we take the cover off and the lens hood. That's for blue sky when it shines. Let's have a look. Oh, I can see you nearly all, because I've got a wide-angle lens in it. Get you all in focus. That's the first. And the three things to get Jesus into focus, boys and girls, are these. First of all, you have to get to the right distance, as close as possible. Secondly, you have to have the right aperture, the right opening. You have to be willing to say yes to him. And thirdly, you have to have the right light, and he gives us his light, the Holy Spirit. And then you'll find Jesus. We're trying to focus on Jesus tonight. Some pulpits don't have a clock, which you've all seen. You wouldn't have known it was there. There are often hidden messages for preachers in pulpits, you know. You know nothing about. But one of the most famous ones to sort of hit the preacher when he mounts up there 6 foot above contradiction is a little text, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." And how appropriate that is, isn't it? The question asked by the Greeks to the disciples. We would see Jesus. You got your Bibles with you? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and this is the pointed lectionary passage set for tonight. I'm reading the Good News Bible. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures, and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And all the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him, as he said to them, "This passage of scripture has come true today, just as you heard it being read." They were all impressed with him and marveled at the eloquent words that he spoke. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph?" And he said to them, "I'm sure you will quote this proverb to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself.' You will also tell me to do here in my hometown the same things you heard were done in Capernaum. I tell you this," Jesus added, a prophet is never welcomed in his hometown. Listen to me. It's true that there were many widows in Israel during the time of Elijah, when there was no rain for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread throughout the whole land. Yet Elijah was not sent to anyone in Israel, but only to a widow living in Zarephath in the territory of Sidon. And there were many people suffering from a dreaded skin disease who lived in Israel during the time of the prophet Elisha. Yet not one of them was healed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with anger. They rose up, dragged Jesus out of the town, took him to the top of the hill on which their town was built, and they meant to throw him over the cliff. But he walked through the middle of the crowd and went his way. Thanks be to God for his word. Keep your Bibles handy, we'll be referring back to that passage. A Hindu once said, "We have heard the preaching, can you show us the life of your Lord Jesus?" And it's the life of the Lord Jesus which we're demonstrating to you tonight and in the coming nights at our holiday week this week. And there are two aspects of this life of Jesus which we're going to look at tonight and which I'm sure will come up again and again. First of all, the ministry of Jesus, and then his message. Let's look through this passage, first of all then, at the ministry of Jesus. And the first point I want to make to you tonight is this: the message of Jesus was the message of Scripture. He took up the scroll and he read the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, in verse 18 and 19 of Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." It wasn't a new message. It was the old message of the prophet with the marvelous authority that the message of Scripture is true. For my holiday reading, I'm going through John Wesley's journals, well, some of them, bits of them, and I came to the part where he went to Bristol and for the first time, he says, made himself vile and went out into the fields and preached. And what was his text? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor, liberty for the captives, the recovery of sight for the blind." Years ago, people who used their Bibles a lot were nicknamed Bible moths. Ever heard that one before, young people? Are you a Bible moth? Here's the comment of one of them, Harold St. John. He said, "Many a night in my youth, God forbid you should be so foolish, the blaze of the light of Scripture has so grown upon me that I have seen light breaking in the dawn before I could tear myself away from my Bible as the book poured its treasures out." The first part of the ministry of Jesus was that his message was the message of Scripture. And the second part of his ministry is this: his message is true for today. Look at verse 21 of Luke chapter 4. "He said to them, 'This passage of Scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read.'" It's happening now. The message of Scripture is true for today. That great German theologian, Karl Barth, said this: the believer in God's word may hold on to this word in everything, in spite of all that contradicts it. Hold on to the message of Scripture. If you take our leaflets and you see what the MRF stands for, you'll see quite clearly and plainly, as your minister here told you at the beginning, we stand on Holy Scripture as the inspired Word of God, as our authority for what we believe and how we behave. And as Martin Luther once said, here we stand, we can do no other, because we believe with Jesus that the message of Scripture is true for today, as well as yesterday, as well as that day in Nazareth when Jesus preached to his people. The third thing I want to say to you is this: Jesus was involved with his local worship center. Look at verse 16. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. As usual to the synagogue. Two things here. He was familiar with the pattern of synagogue worship. And secondly, he was accepted as part of those traditions. I don't know very much about my great-grandparents who lived in North Yorkshire in a tiny little village. Just one thing: that they were always there in the same pew, Sunday after Sunday, and they were an inspiration to whoever preached from that pulpit. As usual, I want to ask you, are you familiar with what goes on in your church? All of it. Are you accepted as part of the furniture? Are you in the swim, however murky the water might be? Because Jesus went to the synagogue as he usually did. The fourth point I want to make about the ministry of Jesus is this: his spirit often works through unlikely people. Look at verse 22 of Luke chapter 4. They were all well impressed with him and marveled at the eloquent words he spoke. They said, "Isn't he the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son?" I mean, I say, we've seen them tonight, haven't we? Can you really think God can work through that lot from High Wycombe? The awfulest choir. And those actors, I mean, well, the Spirit can work through the most unlikely people. Now, Luke sees Jesus in two ways. He sees him as the prophet, the one who should come, the Messiah of Israel. The prophet. I can't put it better than in the words of H.G. Wells when he said, in the white blaze of his kingdom, there's to be no property, no privilege, no pride, no precedence, no motive indeed, no reward but love. To take Jesus seriously is to enter a strange and alarming life, to abandon habits, to control instincts and impulses, and to essay an incredible happiness. He is my Jesus. So wonderful, so thrilling. The prophet, the one whom God sent, the anointed one, be altogether lovely. But he's also the servant, the one who gives out his life for others, the one who brings liberty to the captives, sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed. Turn over from Luke chapter 4 to Luke chapter 7 for a moment. Marvellous passage there. Verse 19. John's disciples, John was now imprisoned and never to come out alive. And John's disciples were sent by the questioning John to see whether Jesus really was the Messiah. And verse 21, at that time Jesus cured many people of their sicknesses, diseases, and evil spirits, and gave sight to the blind, and he answered John's messengers, go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those who suffer from dreaded skin diseases are made clean, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is preached to the poor. Jesus doing the work of the servant. Paul had a comment to make about Jesus as the servant in Philippians chapter 2. Don't bother to look this one up, because I want to quote to you what Sister Eva Friedenschort said about this passage and about Jesus as the servant. Because we children of Adam want to be great, he became small. Because we're always seeking to climb higher, he stepped down. Because we will not stoop, he humbled himself. Because we want to rule, he came to serve. And that is the ministry that Jesus calls us into. One other point. All will not be plain sailing. Look at verse 22 back in Luke chapter 4. They were impressed with him. They said, isn't he the son of Joseph, the carpenter? And verse 23, Jesus, recognizing the hostile reaction to him, said, surely a prophet is never welcomed in his hometown. And verse 24 says that. And then he goes on to quote the widow from Zarephath and the healing of Naaman the Syrian. The ministry of Jesus was not all plain sailing. And sometimes in our own churches, we are facing hostile reaction. I sometimes get letters from people who say we've belonged to MRF for quite a long time, but we want to resign because we're leaving. We've gone to another church. Now, it is the policy of us in MRF, and I lay right down the line, that we stay put as long as humanly and spiritually it is possible. We stay put in our churches, however hostile the reaction, and we pray a way through as long and as far and as hard as we can go. If you have a problem like this during the week, come and chat with me or with Keith Lewis or with anyone else. We'd be delighted to share this one, because I know it is a problem with lots of our folk. The tide, I suppose, in Biddeford comes up gently and goes out again fairly gently. But if you go round the cliffs and see the Atlantic rollers crashing in, then it's rather a different story. And many evenings around the North Coast, I've sat
sat
watching those rollers rolling in from the great ocean. Those waves come in with tremendous force and they're broken utterly on the rocks. And then the water flows back into the sea and then comes up again, crashing against the rocks, renewed by a force not its own. What I'm suggesting to you and to myself tonight is that we are like those waves, being hurled against the strongholds of the evil one. We're broken, which is what God wants to do with us anyway, and then renewed and strengthened and hurled again at the rocks of evil and sin, in the certain knowledge that those strongholds will be broken. All will not be plain sailing. There's the ministry of Jesus then. Let me just repeat the points briefly. The message was the message of Scripture. His message is true for today. Jesus was involved with his local worship center. His Spirit worked through unlikely people. And all will not be plain sailing. Next, I want to look at the message of Jesus. Good news, the gospel. I use sets of Good News Bibles in school. And one day a boy looked at it, read the cover, and he said, "Huh, good news? What's good about it?" Here is good news for the world's troubled people. Look at verse 18 again of Luke chapter 4. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has chosen me to bring good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Brief digression. Becoming very popular in our church today is something called liberation theology. And this is one of the passages which they take out of context, I believe, and say, look, we've got to get the captives free, the prisoners out of prison. And they set about, in what I would describe a secular way, the work of God. I won't say more than that, except that it is, in my viewing of this passage, only half the story, because it says quite plainly that the good news preaching is at the heart of the message of the gospel and the work of the gospel. If you're getting tired and you've travelled a long way today, as I have, here to remind you of my last 3 points, the three B's. First of all, part of this message, the bound are set free. Iron chains couldn't bind the man from Gadara. When Jesus came along, the demons were cast out and he was wrapped in cords of love and went out to tell others what great things the Lord had done for him. Lazarus was 3 days wrapped in grave clothes, and Jesus shouted out, "Loose him, let him go," and he was set free. What is it that binds you? I pray that nothing will bind you. But sometimes habits do. Sometimes illness does. Sometimes a relationship does. Sometimes a situation does. Sometimes a job can bind us. Sometimes the lack of a job can bind us. The bound are set free. That is the message of the gospel. Second B. The blind are given sight. Jesus healed the physically blind, we know. He also healed the understanding as well, the ignorant. Remember Nicodemus coming by night to see Jesus and finding his way to a living faith. Remember the Greeks? Sirs, we want to see Jesus. They saw him all right. The blind can see. There's an old Hindu story I want to share with you. Boys and girls, listen, it's a good story, this. It's the story of five blind men and an elephant. These blind men had never, ever seen an elephant. And so when this elephant came into their village and they walked through the village, they sort of felt it. And one of them got hold of its trunk. And he said, "Oh, this elephant's like a hose." And another of them got his arms round one of the legs of the elephant. It was a very kindly elephant. And he says, "This elephant's a pillar." And there was another one at the back of the elephant. He'd have to be careful, wouldn't he? And he got hold of its tail. And he was pulling its tail. He said, "This elephant's a rope." And there was one very agile blind man. He got on top of the elephant and put his arms right round its huge body and he said, "This elephant's a barrel." And there was one other man, our fifth man, and he hopped on its head and felt its big ears flapping away and he said, "This elephant is it's like a fan that winnows the grain." Now the question in the Hindu story says, who was right? And the Hindu answer is that they were all right. And the Hindu goes on to say, truth is one, but we all look at it from different points of view. But I want to contradict that story, because it isn't a Christian story, it's a Hindu story. The message of Christ into that story is glorious. The blind can see, and they can see the whole elephant. And that is the message of the gospel for preacher, for teacher, for minister, for all of us. That through his spirit, our blind eyes are made to see the wholeness of the gospel of salvation. The third B, the broken-hearted are put together. You know those wonderful words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11? "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." Listen to the Good News Version in the next sentence. "The yoke I give you is easy, the load is light." Always. Bit of personal experience. We prayed about last summer, Mary and I, that the Lord would deepen our spiritual experience. Ooh, take care when you pray that one. Because this is what's been happening to us since last summer camp. November, the death of a brother-in-law. And they're coming into our family of two young teenage children who were otherwise homeless. June, the death of a close member of our fellowship, a very beloved member, leaving a wife behind. Week before the end of term, the girl next door tragically killed in a motorcycle accident. Come back from holiday, the girl next door but one in hospital with a severe brain damage after a road accident. And yet, I know that broken hearts are healed. Salvation comes to men through the activity of Jesus. the bound are set free, the blind are given sight, the brokenhearted are put together. And I praise the Lord tonight that Jesus saves. We spent a fortnight travelling around Norway. We don't really know any Norwegian. We were passing through Voss and I noticed a large marquee near the lake. Didn't know what it was for until I saw a notice in Norwegian, could only read two words at the bottom. Jesus saves. So the Christians were busy. Praise the Lord. Jesus does save, and he will save. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 4, just to finish, and look now on to verse 40. After sunset, all who had friends who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He placed his hands on every one of them and healed them all. Now, just a minute. Look what it says. All who had friends who were sick with various diseases brought them to Jesus. He placed his hands on everyone and he healed them all. Brother, sister, that is what Jesus can do for you this week. He can put his hands onto your life and heal every one of you and make you fit for his kingdom. Amen. We're going to sing.